Oh, okay.
Anyways,
I'm back to
we?
The mic because I just had to open the window because I was dying. My brain wasn't getting enough oxygen. I think I must have used up all the oxygen in this downstairs area of April's house. All right, everyone. Welcome to another week of the A to Z Work podcast. I'm here myself with April. That doesn't really make sense. I'm here myself with April.
Yeah, with someone.
Clearly, that's the way I think about the podcast, but here you are.
Wow, rude. Okay, sure.
Here you are.
Hello, hello.
How are you feeling this week, April?
I'm tired.
Tired?
That's all right. I'm also, it's bittersweet because it's my last ep, because I ironically have a lot of work stuff on next week and then I'm on leave, so from work, but it means I'm out of the country. Not on leave from this podcast.
So you're on leave from work and you're, I'm going to take on leave from everything else as well. Well, you're tired. So why are you tired? You're just... been working hard, have you?
I'm just like, I didn't have a great sleep last night. Also, because I'm away for 3 weeks, it's trying to wrap up stuff.
Right.
Yeah, this week.
You're working with a mentality that you're not going back. Well, I mean, you're not for a while anyway.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If you have 3 weeks left of your work and then you're going to go away for mat leave for X
weeks. No, it's not 3 weeks left. I'm 3 weeks and then I go back.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm 3 weeks because I'm in Perth next week for work and then I'm in Japan for 2 weeks.
And then you're back to work.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm confused about timelines. Oh, well.
Yeah, no. Just 3 weeks.
You know, I came in today quite energetic and excited. I thought I had it all together, but clearly I don't. My mind is just not ticking
it's
right
like
now.
It's like a sieve.
A sieve?
Yeah, a sieve.
Sieve?
No, sieve.
S-I-E-V-E?
Yeah, sieve.
Pronounced sieve.
Yeah, sieve.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are there any other words with I-E-V-E? Believe.
Believe.
Sieve.
This is the English language. Are we really getting into this? No, we're not. This could go on all
Relieve.
Night.
Pensieve.
It's a sieve.
Or pensive.
It's a sieve.
Is it pensive?
No, pensive doesn't have an E. It's S-I-V-E.
Anyway.
Anyway.
This week we're
what a tangent.
This week we're talking about productivity at work. Last week we sort of breached the topic of work-life balance and how there's different areas of life. It's hard work trying to figure it out, what to give attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this week Matt really went into the area of there's a base level that we all want to be productive, but what do we be productive for, right?
Why? Why do we want to be productive?
Why do we want to be productive? What do we be productive for? I suppose, yeah. Yeah, so that's an interesting thought that we're going to be exploring today. But as always, I've got a great guest with me. And this guest, I was trying to think about who to bring onto the podcast and I had no idea. And this name got thrown at me several times and I don't know why.
Well, several times.
Several times.
Wow.
So
popular.
She's going to have to explain herself. Welcome, Emily Berrios.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you. Thanks for making the time. So Emily, why do you think people would be recommending you so much? And just as I'm saying this, she's gone fully red face and she's embarrassed. I don't know why you're embarrassed.
You're exposing
but
me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you've got 40 minutes to expose yourself, mate. So welcome. So let's work our way towards it. Maybe that might be easier. Emily, tell us who you are. What do you do? Yeah, a few things about yourself.
Sure. So I am Emily, obviously. It's a good start, isn't it?
It's a great start.
I'm married to Enrique. He wanted to make sure that I threw his name out there today.
I was so just going to shout out to Enrique. You're starting with your spouse as your second fact about yourself after your name.
Yes.
That's significant.
Yes.
But now you've exposed, it's just because you were told to shout him out. Okay.
I probably would have put him second anyway, but just wanted to make sure that I didn't forget him.
We do like
well.
Shout outs. Yeah.
We love shout-outs.
Shout out as many people.
Shout out Enrique.
Let's go.
Yes, I'm married to Enrique. I work as a pediatric physiotherapist during the week.
Yep.
And things I like to do outside of work, mostly dancing, actually. So I really like ballet.
Oh, cool.
And then also Enrique and I did Latin dancing last year. So that's been a new found hobby that I have as well.
Man, they're pretty far apart, hey, Latin dancing and ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd you find that?
Which one?
I don't know. Latin dancing?
Latin dancing.
I guess that's a newer one. So yeah. I imagine ballet That was a pretty formative thing. I feel like a lot of girls do it from a young age up. Yes. So
yeah, she do. Look at her toes right now. She's stretching.
Just as we're speaking about it, she's sitting on the couch, cross-legged. Can I paint this picture for you?
Yeah.
And then she put her toe up or foot up, and then she was on her tiptoe. That was a very good demonstration.
Pointed toe, really, because you're bending your toes backwards.
I've got to stop looking at her toes. This is weird. Sorry about that, Emily.
She's also wearing socks.
I promise I don't always
do this. She's wearing socks, okay, everyone? So, yeah. Anyway, sorry,
how'd you find the dancing?
The dancing, yeah. So the Latin dancing, it was actually something that Enrique had been trying to convince me to try for several years after we met. Yeah.
Wow.
Because his family is all Latin American, and so we would get together at Christmas times and birthdays, and they would put on music and people would dance. And we had no idea what we were doing. Everyone else knew the basic steps, and we would just be standing there looking like fools, essentially. And then one day he said to me, Emily, I think this is enough. It's time. We need to start taking classes. And the initial plan was to do a 10-week starter course just to learn the basics, essentially. Mm. And then we got hooked and then ended up staying for a year. Ooh. I would have stayed longer, but then we moved house and it was a bit far. So that was, unfortunately it came to an end, but it has been a lot of fun.
Wow.
I wish I was coordinated enough to dance.
The thought that came to my mind was when you went to these gatherings and everyone else knew how to dance, does that mean everyone's also taken lessons or is it they just knew?
Good point.
Some people in the family have taken lessons and then others have just grown up with it. Like Enrique's parents' generation, they came over here from Latin America and so therefore they'd been exposed to it more and I think they were just taught it culturally by their family.
Yeah, right.
And then... yeah, and when we decided to take lessons, we thought, okay, our goal is we're going to leave and we're going to come back and we'll be the best.
And just like blow them away.
Yes, essentially we were like, we're not going to show anyone that we've been taking the classes and then we're just going to come back in a year's time. And then people are going to be shocked.
Like, oh my goodness.
Have you had the opportunity to reveal yet?
We did last Christmas, so that was fun.
Was everyone like, what on earth?
I think they were a bit shocked. I don't know, not as many people wanted to dance on the dance floor as well. So it was a bit sad. There wasn't as much of a dance party going on as previous years because not all the families could make it last year. So it was a bit smaller.
I see.
We just thought, okay, we'll just have to keep hosting things and eventually it will happen.
It wasn't the intimidation factor. These guys are too big now.
I'm picturing like a spontaneous dance party. I really like the idea of that.
Mm.
Like music comes on, everyone just starts like standing up.
You look like the type, April, who would be doing silent disco.
Silent disco? Oh, I have always wanted to do silent disco, genuinely. Why do you say that about me?
Well, you said that you're bad at dancing, and then silent disco seems like the place where you do bad dancing.
I do love a good wedding dance floor, but I'm just so uncoordinated. Like, I think I have the confidence to just do whatever, like flail my limbs around, but I can't. I've never actually tried to do like a coordinated dance.
That's a lie.
Really? When? Yeah. Since when?
I once dragged you onto the dance floor for that funny intro at Freeman's wedding. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was really awkward. That wasn't
really like a dance.
It was coordinated and a dance, albeit bad.
Was it good?
No, albeit bad, but that was coordinated dance.
No, that's what I mean. As in like, okay, fine. So I've tried one half-baked coordinated dance. It wasn't good by any means. But yes, I wish I could dance. I actually wish my parents put me in ballet as a kid.
But it's significantly different to something more free-flowing than Latin dance, I imagine. It sounds very mechanical to me. Am I wrong?
It's very... yeah, I guess mechanical is a good word for it. You have to make it look pretty, but at the end of the day, there is a very clear right and wrong. Whereas other styles, depending on the style... other styles may not have that as much. So ballet, for example, does not translate at all into hip hop. And I'm telling you that from personal experience.
So how much of your week would you say makes up, since we're talking about areas of life, makes up, you got your work, your pediatric physio side of things, got your family side of things. Looks like you guys are pretty intentional with your relationship. Things like making sure you take classes. Hey, that's all cool stuff. I've heard some other cool stories about the things you guys do in your marriage as well. on Sundays. You guys don't use devices.
Whoa, that is
I think it's a intense. Recent thing.
It's very recent.
Yeah.
It's maybe in the last 2 months that that's been the case. And it's not like a very, very strict thing. We're trying not to be legalistic about it as well. So if there's something really important that we need to send to someone, then we'll send it. Yeah. But we will tell our families on Saturday night, we'll try to remind them, hey, just a reminder, we're not going to be checking our phones tomorrow. So if it's an emergency, call us, but otherwise we're not going to see it. And we've got, you know how you can set focus mode up on your phone? So we've got a Sabbath mode that we've set up essentially that comes on automatically on Sundays. And I think it just lets phone calls come through from our family members essentially.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And notifications are turned off too. And we're not perfect at it, but yeah, we're still trying. And I think it's been really helpful for us to just have a day in the week to unwind. So we'll unplug the TV, turn off our phones. We don't listen to music or podcasts either. So we'll try and have it more of like a create day. So if we want to listen to music, we'll sing and play the guitar. Well, I don't play the guitar. I can't play the guitar, but Enrique will play the guitar and I'll sing, or we'll chat, or we'll go on a walk outside and those sorts of things rather than consuming on the Sundays.
Wow, that's very disciplined.
It's a challenge.
Yeah,
it's a
challenge. But still, the fact that you're doing it.
Maybe it's not as disciplined as itself. Like, as in the act itself to get into there is actually quite disciplined. But I would think that once you're in it, man, that sounds awesome. Like, it sounds like a great time. I don't know. Maybe it's hard because we're so ingrained to use devices. It's all around us, everywhere. You know, even billboards are electronic these days. Mm-hmm. Everything is, right?
That's true.
But yeah, to be able to get away with it, away from that. Because each time you go away on camp or something, you go, man, this is awesome. I love being out here where there's no reception. These guys are just taking an active stance saying, hey, despite everything around, we're going to live that.
That's true.
How's it been going? Sorry. Yes.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like I could do it if I had like some tasks to do. If I had a list of things where I'm like, no, I want to do this on a Sunday.
Got to keep it free and easy, man.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Sorry, that was my impression of the hippie guy from Cars.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were doing the turtle from Finding Nemo.
It's probably the same actor, yeah, to
probably.
Be honest.
Probably,
yeah.
Anyway, vibes. Sorry.
Anyways.
So if you had some tasks to do, you'd feel it'd be easier to get through the day.
Yes. I was actually thinking about this on Sunday because I took a really long nap because I was really tired. And I was reflecting on the fact that I always feel the need to have something going on. Like if I don't have something to do or something. Yeah, if I don't have something to do or like a task to finish in my mind, I feel like I'm wasting time, which sort of links to our topic of productivity. But yes, I was just reflecting on the fact that, wow, now I can take a nap and not feel guilty about it. Whereas I used to like hate taking naps because I'd be like, what a waste of time. Like there's stuff to do. There are things to watch or like the garden to tend to or like something to clean or whatever. Like I got to make the most of my time. But I just had that thought on Sunday. Thought I'd mention it.
Yeah. Well, it's been 2 days. Any conclusions yet?
It's been one day.
One day.
Well, by Thursday, it'll be 4 days. Any conclusions? No, I'm just glad I can rest without feeling guilty now.
I'm glad you had that thought.
Thanks.
And you've explored it.
Yes.
What do you think, Emily? It sounds like you thought about it and processed it for more than 1 day.
Yeah, the two of you have.
So tell us more.
In terms of the Sabbath, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
Or I just feel like, rest in general?
I mean, yeah, rest in general. Because I think that's something you've thought about quite a bit. How to find rhythms in life.
Yes, I think that's been a big focus for both Enrique and I this year is rest, because last year we were so bad at it that we had work, and because we were getting into our Latin dancing and loving it, we were going 4 to 5 nights a week.
Wow.
And then we had life group on top of that, and then serving at church as well, and then trying to see family, trying to see friends. We just were exhausted and it was just too much on our plates. And we would find that we would look at our schedule for the week or for the month and just get stressed looking at it, thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done? We've overbooked ourselves. And so this year a big focus has been slowing down. And so that's part of the reason why we started the Sunday Sabbath is just so that we can actually be intentional of, even if we fail at resting throughout the rest of the week, even though we're trying to work on it, even if we fall short there, at least we have Sunday to look forward to that we know that we can get good rest then.
Yeah.
And we try to do all of our chores and errands on other days. So Sunday is literally like we don't do the laundry. We don't go shopping. We'll still cook and do work that is meaningful. So like cooking or, I don't know, going on a walk, working on our marriage, those sorts of things. But we don't do the mundane tasks. Yep. Yep. We try and get them done on other days.
Yeah. How's that been going for you guys so far? 2 months in, you say?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's been going well. I think I've definitely noticed a big change in that. Previously, I used to not like Sunday afternoons because I would think of it as, oh, it's the end of my weekend.
Yeah, and like work and, tomorrow.
Oh, it's, yeah, work is starting tomorrow. And even though I love my job, it was still like, I love my job, but I also like the weekends too.
Yeah.
But now I think there's been a shift to actually looking forward to Sunday afternoons and looking forward to that time of rest. We have a habit now of we'll walk around the lake near our house. Mm. There's these permanent table tennis setups that there are at the lake. And yesterday, for the first time, we took paddles and started playing, and I worked out that I'm not very good at it, but it was still fun. And something that I think I never would have done if we had have been busy making plans previously. I think having that time to rest has actually forced us to slow down and has given us time to try all these other things that we've been wanting to do but have just never gotten around to doing as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Would you say you guys are naturally go-getters in terms of packing your schedule out and doing things?
I think it's important to find that balance and not, and be mindful of not overbooking. I think that something that was helpful for us with that is just sitting down and writing down the things that we're spending time on during the week. Mm. So whether that's formally serving at church or informally, spending time with family, with friends, at work, on our marriage, like date nights and that sort of thing, exercise, dancing, all those things that we would like to do, and then prioritizing them and figuring out what's the most important thing in our life. Okay, we need to make sure that we definitely are allowing time and energy for these most important things. And then, okay, if we've got extra time and energy, then where do we want to spend it within our week? And then I think that's been really helpful to put things into perspective so that this year when opportunities have come up, when, I don't know, social dancing opportunities have opened up or those sorts of things, we can sit down and think, okay, what does our week look like? Realistically, do we have much time and energy for this? And then secondly, how important is this on our list of things to prioritize in this season of life? And if we look at that list of priorities and if it's right at the bottom, then going, okay, actually maybe it's all right to say no to this and to let go of this in the spirit of resting and not overdoing it as well.
Yeah, so it's really reassessing all the different things that you have to do. And it's almost like ranking them. Well, reprioritizing, ranking them, and then seeing what's important and then sticking to those. Because then the lower, less important things, easier to say no to. Because you go, actually, it's not in the grand scheme of things that important.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's like a very disciplined, like practical way of essentially doing what we've been talking about this whole sermon series, which is like we all have different areas of work. How do we prioritize and make sure we assign energy and the right level of time to each one? Because I think the rest of us would just go,
we go by figure it out somehow,
yeah,
and then hopefully get there. But that's a real disciplined, or you've got a method to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I mean, doesn't take a lot. Maybe that's all you need, and that's where you figure it out. Now, I'm interested to know, Emily. I've heard, you know, whispers or just people telling me.
Gosh. Okay.
No, I keep using these really dramatic words, but really it's not that bad. That
on the grapevine.
On the grapevine. I'd heard that your last job was very, very difficult. I imagine that with a difficult job, it would have been hard to figure out some of the outside of work time and how to use that time as well. Did you want to speak to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So my previous job was working at a general private practice for adults. as a physio, and this was my first job out of uni. So it was my first time ever working full time. Mm. And I had also come off a bunch of big life changes as well. So Enrique and I had gotten married in our last year of uni, moved out of home for the first time, and then started full-time work as well. So there had been a lot of big changes that had happened already. And I had always anticipated that my first year of work would just be me getting used to being a physio and just kind of focusing on the basics. Sure. That's what I had in mind. And yeah, my workplace, thankfully all of the co-workers and everyone there, it was a really good team and everyone was really nice and really supportive. But I just found that the expectations that were placed on me specifically compared to others was higher than I could handle.
Right.
So because it was a general private practice, I obviously was seeing adults for their injuries and that sort of thing. But then because I had previously mentioned that I liked children, they had also offloaded the children's caseload onto me. There was a senior pediatric physio there, but she left. And so then they said, okay, Emily, we need you to take over that whole caseload.
Man.
Right.
And then also because they knew that I had been a dancer as well, they started sending all these dancers to me. And so I was essentially seeing three completely different areas of physio that needed different knowledge and different treatment styles and different techniques, all in my first year out without mentoring or without much mentoring at all for them. And so I was just finding that I was getting too scattered and I felt that I couldn't really grow in one area because I was just getting too overwhelmed at how much was going on. And I do think that impacted my ability to be productive for the kingdom and serve others outside of work as well, because I was after work, I found it hard to compartmentalize and switch off. I would be so worried about, oh, what about this person who I saw today? I don't know how to help them and I don't know who to ask. So there was a lot of uncertainty there, and I found that I was spending a lot of time outside of work researching different things on my own. And I know that, you know, it's a good thing sometimes to be doing your own independent learning and to grow, but I just found that it was getting too much. And even if I wasn't spending time physically looking things up, I was still constantly thinking about it on my mind. And so then I think I was just more drained and didn't have much energy or time to be able to effectively serve others or spend time, as much time as I wanted to, with friends or family or serving at church and that sort of thing. And so then when I moved workplace, thankfully my new workplace, my boss has been super supportive and the team has been awesome there as well. And I can just focus on the one area, which is the big thing that I wanted, so that then I'm not so scattered.
Your brain's not switching all the time.
Exactly. So that's been really helpful. And then I also made the decision when I switched to start with 2 days a week and then slowly ramp up.
Nice.
And then when I got to 4 days a week, I decided actually I'm going to stay at 4 days and not go to 5 days, even though the work that I'm doing now I find so much easier than my previous work and less stressful. I still decided to stay at 4 days because it just freed me up capacity wise on my extra day off to do more around the home and to help Enrique out and just to have more time and energy so that then I can serve more faithfully in other areas of life as well. And I think that's been really helpful for me.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's really cool for sharing that, Emily. That's a, sounds like a huge time of transition. You know, a lot was going on. And I heard this really cool story, Emily. Again, another cool story I heard about you.
So many. That's why.
Trying to get them out. That's probably why I gathered all these facts, and I said, you know what, that makes sense.
She needs to share.
Yeah, that's it. In your last job, you said that your boss was giving you a hard time. Not that she was mean or anything, but it was just giving you a hard time with a lot of things to do. At your current job, your boss is not so much giving you a hard time, but in fact, your boss got sick recently, and you decided to help her out without her knowing. And I thought, wow, what a cool story. You got to tell me. I don't want to keep going down this track. You've got to say something.
Sure. Yes, I work on a very small team at the moment. There's my boss, who's the lead physio, and then three other physios, an exercise physiologist who recently joined the team, and then admin. So it's just us. It's small team. And recently, yeah, my boss had been going through a difficult time. She hadn't been unwell, but she had been going through a period of grief. And I decided to make some meals for her and drop them off. And she actually lives around the corner from where my life group is. And it was a Wednesday night when I had life group. And I thought, oh, okay, this is a perfect time to just make a few extra meals and then just drop them off for her. And yeah, thankfully, I had the time and the capacity to be able to do that and take a little bit of load off of her, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you reckon is the main motivation there? Because it's very easy for us to just leave work at work, you know, and even just to say we go to work to make money, to support ourselves and do whatever we need to do. We go to church to do that thing, you know, but you're sort of blending our responsibilities. And I suppose, yeah, being fruitful at work, it's not just about doing it for yourself anymore. So has that been something that you've always thought about? How can I help others? How can I serve others? Or have you always really pushed really hard for your own success? Or yeah, where do you reckon that sits for you?
I think it's only been more recently that I've been really trying to learn to serve others better. And I think in terms of that blend between personal life and work life that you mentioned, one thing that helps for me at least is because we have such a small team, we are quite close and we don't hang out outside of work heaps, but we do every now and then. And I think that that's something that not all workplaces would have, especially I imagine if you're in a corporate sort of workplace where there's a huge company and lots of people working there. So I think that that's something that's helpful. And I think my boss has just shown me so much care and love in my role, and not just me but the other employees as well, that when I could see that she was in need, I just genuinely really wanted to be able to help her out in a way that I could. Yeah.
How do we show Christ at work? Is it just through being nice, or is there more to it than that? Because I see you doing that nice thing for your boss and I'm like, that's really nice. But then again, a lot of nice people do nice things as well. So I go, where's the, let's not call it a line, but at what point do I start actually saying, hey, I'm really being intentional about things versus I just want to be a nice person?
I think it's important to make known within your workplace that you are a Christian, even if you're not yet, if you don't know your colleagues well enough yet, or you don't have the opportunity yet to necessarily fully share the gospel with them, even just starting with sharing of, oh, on the weekend I went to church, or this is what I've learned about at church recently, or oh, tonight I'm going to Bible study, just little points here and there just to make it known. And then I think it also is important to live out with your actions and really be that ambassador for Christ within your workplace. And maybe that is when there's, you know, if there's gossip going in within your workplace, of just choosing to stay out of it or choosing to give that person the benefit of the doubt or whatever it is, but just stand out in little ways like that, depending on, you know, how your workplace goes and what sort of particular difficulties there might be within each workplace. And then I think also, when you do good works, keeping in mind that motivation and making sure that it's that desire to genuinely just show love and care, and Christ's love and care to someone, not that desire to earn your salvation or to do something good for your boss so that you can get a promotion or be good in their eyes. You're doing it just out of a genuine desire to show care for that person. But also not shying away from making it known that you have done it as a Christian as well. For example, when we drop the meal off to my boss, we put in a little psalm card that just had a verse that I had picked out that I thought seemed relevant. And then on the back, I just put a little message there. And I didn't explicitly talk to her about the gospel in that moment. I didn't think that it was the right time to be sharing that. But just, you know, my hope is that at least she has a Bible verse that hopefully is comforting to her that she can go back to if she wants to, or that she's read at some point. And that's just something small but tangible to still show that love for Christ in your actions.
That's a really cool little way to go about doing that. Never thought about slipping in a little card, and it's nothing, you know, it's nothing intrusive nor offensive. When people get that sort of thing, they go, that's cool. And I think there's something to be said about just being nice for the sake of being nice. We, you know, oftentimes people say, hey, you Christians are terrible because you don't even show it. So I think our character is quite important in terms of how we're displaying ourselves in all that we do. I got things to learn from there. I could be nicer to my work colleagues as well. And I work at church.
Who are your work colleagues now?
In our last segment of the podcast, we always end with a question from the crowd. The question for this week is, how do I as a Christian not conform to those around me? I wonder where this question comes from. How do I not conform to those around me? Perhaps it's a work setting that the person's not particularly fond of, or not succumbing to the pressure of those around them for certain things. And that could manifest in several different ways, whether it's the culture of whatever that situation is. Maybe if everyone works really hard, how do I rightfully step back and say, no, I won't be like that as well? Or maybe it's a obligation to family. I imagine some families expect a lot of things that aren't necessarily helpful. How do I not succumb to that pressure as well? I don't know. I'm just throwing out a few options around there. Emily, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm not too sure where exactly or specifically what part of work this question is about, whether it's about more of the culture or the pressures of work. I think we kind of spoke a little bit on culture of workplace already. But speaking on the pressures of work, I think it's keeping in mind where our identity lies as Christians. And so therefore our reason for working and what's driving us to work. So when I was in uni, before I became a Christian, I was very big on study, 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 get the top grades, do the best, be the best. I need a minimum of a 6.25 GPA because that means that then I can get first class honors and I don't want to be seen getting second class honors.
Oh, dang.
Essentially. And I remember one of my friends from uni, I was talking to him during exam time and I said to him, if I get a 6.25, I'll be happy. And he said to me, does that mean that if you don't get a 6.25, that you won't be happy? And I remember that that was a big light bulb for me. And I realized, oh, wow, like I've been putting my whole happiness and value and worth and identity in this one grade. And what if I don't get this grade? Does that mean I'm just going to be sad forever? And I thought, well, that seems like a terrible way to live. And so then I think, now being a Christian and realizing that actually we are not called to be working for our own self-progression and self-acceleration and to climb the ladder and to be the best and to excel, but actually working with that desire to bring glory to God and work diligently because that is what is pleasing to God, not overworking to the point that it's unhelpful, but also not being lazy and underworking either. I think that that is something to keep in mind in a culture that talks about hustle and always working hard and always doing the best and always excelling. That's a way that we can be mindful as Christians to actually stand out and be different and, yeah, not be lazy, but also not maybe chase after those things that the world is telling us to chase after and actually measuring success differently to how the world measures it.
Do you find it hard to think of it in a godly way all the time? Or like, has your thinking shifted so far that it's just natural now? Or do you find yourself pulling back to that really driven 6.25 GPA, Emily?
I think I'm really thankful that the type of work that I do is not, it doesn't have a ladder. So even within the realm of allied health, if I were in a hospital, there's still a sort of ladder that you can climb. And sure. I think I would probably find myself falling into that trap if I were working in a hospital. But thankfully, in private practice, it really doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it's just you're a physio and that's that.
Yep.
And there's not really much else beyond that.
Yeah.
So I think that that's been really helpful for me because it's put that barrier for me falling into those old ways. And I think that then it helps me. The drive is more just how can I be helping these children better, or how can I be, I guess, how can I just grow in my skills to be able to help these kids better, rather than how can I do better so that I can get a promotion, so that I can earn more or whatever it is.
And I think that piece about where your identity lies really plays the biggest part, hey?
Mm.
Because if your identity lies in achievements, then you'll be pushing towards achievements in one way or another, whether it's through work and then you go, oh no, wait, this isn't getting me there. Maybe it's through another way, through achievements. Whereas if your identity lies in Christ and that you're good in that respect and everything else is second, I suppose it frees you up to make those choices more objectively, because you can make thoughts like, is this actually good for me in the long run? Because I'm not chasing towards achievements anymore. So I suppose when you think about, or when I think about succumbing to pressures of whatever that pressure might be, if we have a solid identity for ourselves, then we could look at that pressure and be more objective about it.
I think it also links back to what, like, one of the points in the sermon was. It's not that as Christians we no longer need to be productive. It's that we're almost more free to be productive for God. And again, like, our driver is not like a goal or like something tangible, but it's because we can be productive knowing that, so we can be more productive, not out of fear of what would happen if we weren't productive. We're sort of just free to be productive because we can and because we want to, because God has provided it all for us already. And so we're not driven by a fear of missing out on a promotion or fear of not reaching our goals or whatnot. It's like almost,
it's being productive for the right things. And when we do, we'll find that it naturally aligns with what we're looking for, because that's what we're made, I suppose, for. If we're made to serve others, when we do serve others, it feels right, because that's just what we're supposed to be doing.
Also, how many people have asked you about your GPA since you've graduated?
Exactly. That's the thing. No one cares. And that's what I think I was missing when I was in uni, thinking, okay, well, this is the be all, end all. I need this to get the dream job. And then I got the GPA and I didn't get the dream job. And that made me realize, oh, actually.
All that.
Or what was the point of all of that?
Yeah, right.
And understanding that actually I should have had that mindset of working hard in uni, so that I could learn the skills and develop the skills that I needed to be diligent in the job, rather than working hard just to get the good grade. Because at the end of the day, once you're out of uni, no one cares what grade you got.
Yeah, it's just a number.
What matters is actually that you're doing the work that you're supposed to do and that you're doing it diligently as well.
Yeah. I think it's also similar in high school, like when you're so focused on getting a good OP. Well, it's not OP anymore, but back in the day, gosh, showing age. You're so focused on getting that good number to get into the course you want. And it's like make or break. Like, I have to get this number. I have to get these good grades. And then no one has ever asked me about my OP.
No one asks.
In uni. It's like,
not even just OP or GPA. There's so many things that we strive so hard to achieve, but maybe no one even cares except yourself.
Yeah. Like you make it out to be a big thing for yourself. But then,
as soon as I get a big house with 5 rooms or whatever, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
No one cares.
But also, again, like you'll get that, and then you'll probably be like, oh, but that person has 6 rooms.
Yes.
So I haven't made it yet.
I think it's, you're at risk of having a covetous mindset. Yes. If you're constantly trying to get more or reach certain material or physical goals from a worldly perspective, because you'll either get that goal and not be satisfied, or it won't work out the way you thought, or you won't get that goal and it will crush you.
Mm.
And we should all share something that we tried really hard for but didn't get.
Ooh.
Okay.
What do I think?
I mean, you already said your job, so you got to think of another one.
Mm-hmm.
Something we tried really hard to get but didn't.
The first thing that came to mind for me was in terms of dancing, actually. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, right.
I, in high school, decided that I wanted to be a professional ballerina. And not many people decide that when they're in high school. Most people say, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a doctor. And I said, no, I want to be a ballerina. And I quit day school in grade 11 and I did homeschool, like distance education online. And then I danced all day. When kids were at school, I was dancing.
Yeah.
And then I took classes in the evening and I took classes on weekends.
Wow.
And it was a lot. Yeah, it was honestly too much. And then as the year of that went on, I realized actually the more I do this, the more I've lost my passion for this. I actually don't want this anymore. And I think I was also starting to realize this is so competitive. Like, it's just going to be very, very difficult. I have to give up so much to get this. And I think that was something that I had to let go of, that I realized, oh, this is something that I had wanted since I was a child and had really started taking seriously throughout high school, and to realize actually I don't think this is going to work out the way that I thought it would. So
how'd that feel?
Yeah, how'd you feel when you made that realization?
It was difficult, I think, to let go of something that I had been doing for so long.
Yeah, right.
I had started ballet when I was 4, and by this point I was 16.
Wow.
And that was when I decided, you know what, actually, I think I'm just going to let go of this dream.
This is a bit too much now.
Yeah. Would have been nice if I realized that a little bit earlier, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a little bit sad to let go of it, but also I think it was good, because upon reflection, when I look back on that, I think actually what would my life be like if I had have achieved that dream? And I think things would be so different.
Yeah.
And I don't think necessarily in a good way. It's a brutal world, the dance world. And I don't think that actually it would have been a helpful area to be in while trying to grow in my faith as well.
Yeah, that's fair. Man, so many blessings in disguise, eh? I feel like just hearing a few of those stories from you, that there's all these things that you tried to do, it didn't necessarily pan out that way for whatever reason, but because of it, you grew so much from it. Yeah, that's a great life lesson generally, that we don't have to kick goals because who knows what comes out on the other end.
It's like the old cliche of everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah, true. I forgot about that phrase.
Yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie.
I mean, regardless, everything does happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is they're always a good reason.
Ah. Yeah.
Or maybe what a good reason is depending on your frame of mind.
Yes.
So it's not always a good reason.
I think what you're trying to say is there's always a positive to come out of something, whether you want to see it or not.
Yeah.
Or whether it's obvious at the time or whether it's obvious later on in hindsight.
True.
Yes.
Because it can be like really devastating at the time to be like, I've just, you know, devoted 12 years of my life to this thing that I actually need to let go now.
It's true.
But in hindsight, you can see that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I think it's good to be able to see how God can work through those difficult situations on the other side of it, and to see actually I can see how he was using that to bring me closer to him or to grow me in my faith.
Totally.
How hind was the hindsight? Like, how far did you have to get before it was like, yep, that was a good thing?
How many months or years did it take to reach?
It would have been many years. probably not until I started working as a physio, honestly.
Wow.
To,
long time to truly, reconcile.
Yes, to truly see, wow, actually, I'm really happy with this work-life balance that I have, and I can see why God has put me here where I am as opposed to there. Even now, sometimes I'll watch videos of dancers and be like, ah, that's a shame.
Could have been. Yeah.
So there are still moments where I'm like, oh, man, what if? But I think the clarity is there now to just look back and to see how actually where I have been placed now has been very helpful. I mean, through my physio degree at uni, that's how I was introduced to God in the first place. And if I hadn't have gone there, then, you know, may not have been a Christian. So
wow.
Is that how you met Enrique as well?
Yes, that's how I met Enrique as well.
There you go.
I was just going to say that all bad decisions make good stories, but that doesn't apply.
No, that doesn't apply.
I think my phrases are out of whack tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, this one might be relevant. Just as Emily was saying that when she jumped out of ballet, I know we've got to end soon. I know the time. I've been watching the time, but I'm on a roll right now.
Okay.
Just as she realized that if it wasn't for that situation, wouldn't have, you know, I lost it, whatever. Whatever the case is, I just want to put a point in there that Lightning McQueen, right? So I just finished watching Cars. He was a superstar and he was all self-centered and stuff. But then he got dropped out of his trailer, ended up in some town, small town, backwards town called Radiator Springs. And then that's where he realized that he was actually quite a self-centered guy. And when he finally went back to the racetrack, he said, you know what? I actually care more about other things. And there's more to life than just racing. So if it wasn't for him getting dropped out of the truck, would have never made that connection.
So we all just need to go to Radiator Springs, essentially. We just need to get dropped off the back of a truck and then we'll be
and
good.
And you're saying Emily's Lightning McQueen.
She is Lightning McQueen.
Ka-chow.
Oh, very good. I like it.
There you go.
Anyway, I think we should end it there. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Emily. I'm sorry that it went every which way, but thank you. Thank you. It was some really cool stories that you shared. And hey, guys, I think, you know, if you want to learn more about being productive with your time, with a big godly view, have a chat with Emily. She's done some good thinking in that space.
She's got down pat.
She's living it out. That mental list is seems so natural to you.
Gosh, pressure's on.
Nah, she's cool.
Now we know why so many people put her up for this podcast.
Thank you for linking it back, April. Well done.
You're welcome. The initial question has been answered.
I can't remember what the initial question was.
Neither do I.
The initial question was, we're trying to figure out why so many people have put Emily's name.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then we'll figure it out as we go along.
I just had a good time because I got to mention Lightning McQueen at the end.
That's great. Always a good time.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.